As of Thursday, Green Bay Packers minicamp is over. And for that matter, so is the entirety of the team's 9-week offseason program. What did we learn? We'll share impressions from minicamp. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about Packers minicamp today. We are wrapping up the entirety of the team's offseason program. Glad to be joining you. Just me today. No guest on the show, just me and my unfiltered impressions about Green Bay Packers minicamp. The Packers held their final offseason practice on Thursday, and that's it. The players are now off until the start of training camp in late July. Minicamp ended on a Thursday. Training camp, the very first practice, I believe, begins on a Thursday, and it's a 6-week period in between. So you can expect players right now to kind of take a little bit of vacation, a little bit of time off. Most of them are going to get away from Green Bay. A lot of them are going to go back to their hometowns, wherever that is, their college alma maters, and just take some time off, as head coach Mike McCarthy explained yesterday. A lot of them, especially until like the 4th of July. And then once the 4th of July is over, players start filtering back in. Now, they don't have to be back in Green Bay until the start of training camp. Some of them will stay home, whatever, work out on their own. Others will filter back to Green Bay, work out at team facilities and things like that. But it's now kind of like a 6-week break here until the start of training camp, the real, real dead portion of the off season. But it picks back up with the fury in late July. But what I wanted to do is just give some impressions from this past weekend's mini camp, or this past week's mini camp, and the off-season program as a whole. You know, mini camp is just a portion of the off-season program, pretty short portion at that. 3 days, everybody mandatory that you be there. And from all appearances, the Packers had 100% attendance, but that doesn't come as unexpected. There are very few players in the NFL that actually hold out of minicamp. I know, you know, Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant is maybe one of those few exceptions, but there are very few players in his boat, as I know he looks for a new contract. But all Packers players in attendance. But the interesting thing, though, is that the final day of practice, just yesterday on Thursday, select veterans were excused from practice. Head coach Mike McCarthy basically giving veterans 7 years and older the day off. And, he said the decision was kind of twofold. Number one, that, you know, they already got through all the work they really needed to get done, and he felt good about that as far as the veterans go. I mean, these are the guys on the team that know the schemes and systems the best and really don't need to be around from that perspective. They've been there, done that before, and a lot of these guys who have gotten that time off have already won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, so they know what it's like. And number two, that kind of opens up the door for more reps and more individualized attention for the young guys on the team, the guys that need it. So they really got some extra attention on Thursday. You know, the guys who were gone, we're talking about the older players on the team, of course, quarterback Brett Favre, linebackers Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews, defensive lineman B.J. Raji, LaTroy Guyon, anybody who's been in the league 7 years or more got the time off. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but apparently quite evident that Aaron Rodgers was gone because quarterbacks were throwing a lot of interceptions, reportedly, on Thursday. If you're following the media reports coming out of minicamp yesterday, you will have noted there were interceptions by a variety of Packers defensive backs, from Micah Hyde to Chris Banjo to Dimitri Goodson to Gene Fenor to Ladarius Gunter. And while that's really good for the defense, it kind of showed that beyond Aaron Rodgers, he's in a league of his own. The other quarterbacks on the roster are not Aaron Rodgers. As encouraged as you may be by Scott Tolzien being the backup this year, the potential of Brett Hundley, how good Matt Blanchard has looked, they're not Aaron Rodgers, and these guys throwing a fair amount of interceptions at practice on Thursday. But I mean, that's, you can look at it from that perspective. You can also be encouraged by what's basically a young, very young secondary performing well and stepping up their play in spite of losses like Tremont Williams and Devon House to free agency this offseason. These young guys are stepping up and doing the job. So that's good as well. One thing I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit is the strong mini camp or strong offseason program that quarterback Matt Blanchard has had. I was actually at Packers practice on Tuesday and came away impressed. He should have had two touchdowns during the move the ball drill that they hold during practice. One of them he actually connected on a corner route to rookie tight end Kennard Backman in the end zone, kind of on a fade route. And another one was a deep pass to Miles White right down the middle of the field, kind of a go route right down the seam. And Miles White should have had it. He actually had both hands on the ball. His arms were outstretched, but he dropped it. It wasn't an easy catch by any means, but it hit both hands in the end zone. Should have had it. Matt Blanchard should have had two touchdowns. The most impressive thing is these were not simple little, the ball was on the goal line or anything like that. These were both what appeared to be outside the red zone. The deep one to Miles White was definitely way outside the red zone. That was a deep pass. It was hard to see the line's markings on the field, but I'm not really sure. It was probably real close on the touchdown to Backman, whether it came outside the red zone or not. But I mean, again, these were not 1 yard or 5 yard touchdown throws. Matt Blanchard threw some real nice passes with a little bit of air underneath them, real nice catchable ball, real nice tight spiral. Everything you want to see in a guy that's competing for a backup quarterback spot. And, it kind of got some attention when he was first signed this offseason. But Matt Blanchard, I think, has been really under the radar. Of course, I mean, the other three quarterbacks he's on the depth chart with are three guys who, just garner a lot of attention, from Aaron Rodgers being one of the most visible players in the entire NFL and arguably the best, to a rookie like Brett Hundley, just a guy who got a lot of notoriety in college, and the Packers traded up to get him. A lot of attention on him, and Scott Tolzien kind of being the number two guy and a guy who's entering his third year. So Matt Blanchard has kind of been in the shadows or under the radar, but he's done really, really good. And he looks the part. He's got real nice size. And as people know by now, he came from a Wisconsin Whitewater program that's small. I mean, the Wisconsin Whitewater really successful, but I mean, it's Division III football. But Matt Blanchard is an NFL caliber quarterback. He's got the size. He's and that's what I really like about him. And he's, you know, I think he's been the victim of some unfortunate circumstances. I know he had a concussion this past season that knocked him out, and, you know, that might have been the only thing preventing him from actually appearing in a regular season game or on the regular season roster. His first 2 years, I mean, he's been in training camp and he's played in preseason ball, but he's never really made a regular season roster yet. But part of the reason is he's just simply had injuries, and that may have been the only thing holding him back. And now that he's healthy for the moment being, he's looking good. I mean, he's really going to be, you know, pushing for a roster spot from what I've seen, despite the interceptions that happened at Thursday's practice. But I mean, you know, that's one practice. So I'm kind of wrapping up the whole offseason program as a whole here, 9 weeks long, in which, you know, I've only seen Blanchard myself for a small portion of it, look good in what I did. But, you know, I think other people are coming away with this impression as well. You know, I'm not the only one to say this, but at this point, it would appear Matt Blanchard is ahead of Brett Hundley in his development at this point. But that, you know, that really shouldn't come as a surprise. I think people, of course, are hopeful that Brett Hundley is the real deal, just because, again, the Packers traded up for him. They, you know, they sacrificed things to go and get him, albeit in the fifth round, but. And just a guy who's, you know, a college quarterback that got a lot of face time, a lot of, you know, television coverage. People know who he is. And you know, it's maybe a little bit discouraging to hear that this no-name guy from Division III Whitewater is ahead of the, you know, the big-time name from Division I UCLA. But again, I mean, Matt Blanchard, now in his third year in the NFL, you know, he's got experience in pro style systems, whereas Brett Hundley is trying to make the transition. He did not play in a pro style system at UCLA. They ran a spread scheme. He was basically never under center. So, I mean, these are the advantages that Matt Blanchard has over Brett Hundley right now. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this carries over into training camp, because, I mean, as much as we can talk about the offseason program, they're not wearing pads, things, you know, it's flag football. It's not tackle football. And things can be a whole lot different when training camp comes. I would say Blanchard is ahead right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, maybe he's ahead of Brett Hundley for the number three spot, but I mean, you know, Matt Blanchard is really going to have to set himself apart to make that regular season, that 53-man roster, because I mean, if Scott Tolzien is by far and away the number two guy, the top backup, I mean, do the Packers really want to sacrifice cutting Brett Hundley and stashing him on the practice squad? I mean, yeah, that might be a great idea in theory, but it, you know, you kind of lose the your control of Brett Hundley the moment you cut him. All it takes is one team to claim him on waivers, one team out there who's only got two quarterbacks they expect to keep on the roster, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll keep him as our number three instead of, you know, on the practice squad. And that would be all it takes to lose him after how much the Packers invested into this trade, and hopefully maybe at some point dealing him for a higher draft choice, something like that. So, you know, if Brett Hundley just shows, you know, like he can be a good quarterback in due time, maybe not his rookie year, you know, the Packers would, you know, probably keep him over Matt Blanchard. Now, the reason they keep Blanchard around is all of a sudden, what happens if somebody gets injured? And it doesn't matter who it is, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Scott Tolzien, Brett Hundley, if one of them gets injured, now they're going to be happy they have Blanchard around regardless. So, This is why they keep him around on the roster for the moment being. If you wonder why they keep four quarterbacks, they're not going to keep four during the regular season. This is why, at this point, when rosters are at 90, there's no hurt in doing so at the moment. But good news that Matt Blanchard is looking good. Packers could have for what is a very tiny investment, you know, basically getting the NFL's minimum salary, not going to cost him anything if they cut him. Matt Blanchard was a good pickup and good for a guy who's, you know, played at a Wisconsin school and, you know, came from a small program. All positive stories to come out of this. Good news on the health front. Over the course of the offseason program, you saw these guys who tore their ACLs last year, like Jared Abradaris and Don Barclay, kind of start off the offseason program in limited fashion. They were basically strictly held to individual drills in the beginning. They wouldn't take part in competitive 11-on-11 activities, but that changed over the course of the program. Jared Abradaris previously being worked in, and apparently the word from Wes Hodgkiewicz at the Green Bay Press Gazette just yesterday, final day of practice, Don Barclay returning to action. And I don't know if that was part because, you know, veterans were gone and that meant TJ Lang was gone for the day. But Barclay taking that next step back from his torn ACL to, you know, basically take part fully in practice and not be limited whatsoever. So that was just a good development for these guys who ended the season on injured reserve last year. You know, didn't even get through training camp all the way. Both Abradaris and Barclay suffered those injuries during training camp last year. So, you know, when training camp starts, they'll be basically a year removed from their injuries. Hopefully they're getting back. I say it a lot. A lot of players don't return to 100% that first year back from ACL. It always kind of seems like they're at 95, 98%. And you know, that just doesn't cut it in the NFL. You know, you could say, you know, what, you're only 5% off 100. What's that? What's 5%? Well, in the NFL, at the highest level of athletic competition, it means a lot. You got to be at 100 or 99.9. And, you know, I don't know what they're at. I know they're making progress, but the good thing is they've got some time off here till training camp, rest up, and hopefully they'll be back and ready to go to their fullest capability possible. Cornerback Casey Hayward also returned to at least individual drills during mini camp this week, after previously basically not taking part in anything with the exception of maybe, you know, you might have seen him out there during warm-up stretching and things like that, but then basically that was it during OTAs. As of minicamp, Casey Hayward returned to doing some individual drills, but still being, you know, like we were talking about earlier, still being held out of the competitive 11-on-11 portions, team drills, things like that, offense versus defense, you know, taking a baby step back from the foot injury that Hayward apparently suffered earlier during the off-season program. Kind of unsure what exactly took place there, but at least Casey Hayward came back on a small basis because he was a guy that was going to compete for a starting job or expected to compete for a starting job, and it was disappointing to hear that he was going to miss all this practice time and things like that, but at least he came back and did something which gives you encouragement that he's going to be able to take part, you know, by the time training camp starts. Like you said, we got 6 weeks off here. In 6 weeks' time, is Casey Hayward going to be ready to, you know, go back and be full go for then? I mean, apparently no torn ligaments, no broken bones. Hopefully it was just something like a sprained ankle. I don't even know the exact severity or precisely what happened, but knowing, I mean, having been no word that there was anything like that going on, You hope that Casey Hayward will be ready to go once training camp starts. On the other side, the negative things that happen, guys who I saw sitting out of practice this week. I mean, they were the guys who were, you know, sitting out the whole time. And, you know, we spent the last episode of Railbird Central talking about one of them in depth, Nick Perry. He didn't practice at all. But I mean, we spent pretty much, you know, a lot of time in the last episode talking about Nick Perry. So I'm not going to, you know, get into that again in today's show. Justin Perillo, tight end, basically misses the whole offseason program. But guys who were practicing that had since gotten injured on Tuesday, running back John Crockett, the Packers' only undrafted rookie that was invited to the NFL Combine, so kind of the guy coming in with the maybe the highest expectations among the undrafted players. He sprains an ankle during Tuesday's practice. Happened right in front of me. He was going out on a passing route, kind of got tangled up with some defender there, planted his foot in the ground and went down. He was able to get up under his own power, and apparently, after talking to the media, he expects to be back for training camp. Undrafted rookie wide receiver Javess Blue didn't practice this week. Don't really know what happened. He didn't appear to suffer an injury during practice. All you saw was he was just sitting out. Again, maybe he was taking part in warm-ups or things like that, but afterwards kind of sat out and not really sure what happened there. It hasn't been reported, to my knowledge, hasn't talked to anybody in a public fashion about the injury. But so it was, you know, discouraging to hear these rookies suffering injuries, being prevented from practicing. Crockett could actually be seen with ice around his ankle. But the silver lining here is that if there was a good time to get injured, this week was it. You know, at least of the entire 9-week offseason program, or I guess, you know, rookies haven't been around for the entire 9 weeks, but they've been around since the beginning of OTAs, you know, 4 weeks, a month at least. They were around for all of that, basically just getting injured at the end. At least they got some good time in, got an opportunity to get an introduction to the team's offense, if nothing else. And now they have 6 weeks to recover. And, you know, hopefully they'll be back, you know, like all these guys, be back in time for the start of training camp in late July. So wishing them a speedy recovery. Unfortunate they got injured, but like I said, there's a silver lining here. At least they didn't miss much time, and now they get 6 weeks off. So hopefully they're ready to push for a roster spot come training camp. So those were some of the big stories, I thought, you know, especially over this last week, but kind of over training camp as a whole. And just one last thing here that I haven't touched on much, and you started to see other media outlets report this as well. I'm kind of glad I was ahead of the curve, because if you actually read I posted an article at 24/7 Sports, 5 takeaways from day one of Packers minicamp back on Tuesday. Had noticed that cornerback Ladarius Gunter actually took part in what was being rotated in with the Packers secondary, teaming up with Sam Shields in the secondary. And there was kind of some extra opportunities here because Casey Hayward was sitting out. That means more reps for everybody else. But I just found it interesting that it always seemed to be Ladarius Gunter being paired with Sam Shields. They would come in and come out at the same time. Not necessarily come out because players were being rotated, but they always seemed to come in together at the same time. They seemed to be paired together. And then the first and second round draft picks, Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins, were paired together. And then some of the other guys further down the roster, like Bernard Blake and Take Lover Wright, Kyle Sabetic, they all seem to be, you know, rotating together too. But it was Gunter paired with Sam Shields. The Sam Shields, kind of the unquestioned starter, the guy who's been around, you know, the longest tenured of the Packers cornerbacks. I don't know, maybe it was the fact that they were pairing them with, they're both Miami guys. Maybe they were trying to do that, just kind of, you know, being a mentor to Ladarius Gunter. But just, you know, that was a positive development, I thought. And I thought it was tough to get, you know, take away a whole lot from, again, a non-padded practice. There weren't too many splash plays that I saw on Tuesday from Ladarius Gunter, but I can say that he looked the part. He didn't look out of place. He wasn't overwhelmed. And, you know, those are small, you know, things, almost maybe insignificant, but, you know, encouraging nonetheless, I suppose. And, you know, I think in the aftermath of the NFL draft, people were wondering, because of his height, because he's 6'1" and maybe doesn't have the greatest foot speed ever, people were wondering if Ladarius Gunter was going to be moving to secondary. I'll tell you right now, the one maybe small thing I kind of gathered from just watching him a little bit, he's got a cornerback's body, you know, especially when you look at him compared to the Packers safeties on the team, like Morgan Burnett and Clinton Dix. Ladarius Gunter might be as tall as them, but his body is not filled out like them. So I don't think there's any chance of him, you know, transitioning to safety this year. You know, maybe in due time that happens down the road, perhaps. But the Packers, I think, are looking at him at corner. He's getting a lot of reps at corner. I think his body is built for it. He, you know, he's not a kind of guy who's going to play in the box, I don't think. So I like what I saw from Ladarius Gunter, the little bit of that I saw. But yeah, he's a corner, not a safety. So there's, you know, one kind of impression maybe you won't hear anywhere else. Let's get to our other segment here.
Packers news of the day.
On Thursday, Packers made a pair of transactions, signing undrafted rookie tight end Harold Spears and releasing undrafted rookie cornerback Travis Manning. You know, not kind of headline grabbing moves by any means here. But anytime the Packers make a transaction and sign a player, you always hope they find a diamond in the rough. Spears is a product of the University of New Hampshire. I actually know they made a run in the FCS division of college football in the playoffs this past year. 1AA were doing a good job, and Harold Spears was kind of like an all-conference performer. As far as tight ends go, he caught a fair amount of passes. Are they part of the Colonial Athletic Association, I believe, was named, you know, first-team all-conference. So did a good job in college. Wasn't a highly rated guy by any means. It wasn't like, you know, people thought he was going to be, you know, drafted or anything like that. But a young developmental prospect, actually signed with the New Orleans Saints as an undrafted rookie, but ended up being released after, you know, just a few weeks. Don't know what happened in New Orleans, really, that, you know, prompted his release, but the Packers basically, in less than a week's time, had seen that he was released and picked him up, and basically did so in time for Spears to take part in one minicamp practice. I suppose it's better than nothing, but it's not as if he got a whole lot of time learning the team systems this past week at minicamp. This is something that, you know, you'll be watching him closer during training camp, and hopefully, at least by signing him now, they got him a chance to get him a playbook, and over the course of the next 6 weeks, he can be reading up a little bit. So by the time training camp comes around, he's not overwhelmed. He knows what he's doing. He can take part and not be having, you know, not be having to told what to do during practice. But, you know, also releasing cornerback Travis Manning, I guess this maybe goes back to partially that, and again, I'm kind of making some assumptions here for, I don't really know the reasoning behind why they released him. They don't say, Packers don't make a statement. Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy don't come out and say anything. You know, for all you know, he could have done something really stupid. I'm not suggesting he did, but we just don't know. But I think maybe one reason is going back to, you know, guys like Ladarius Gunter, you know, stepping up and doing really well, and then kind of making Travis Manning expendable. Maybe the Packers see with Gunter, with Randall, with Rollins, with Blake. They've already got enough good young guys. They don't need another guy here. Might as well, you know, try to fill out some other position because they've got some good talent at corner. Manning was signed just before the start of OTAs back in late May. So really only with the Packers for a month or so, and didn't even make it to the very end of training camp, just one day short of, or mini camp. But so yeah, Packers making a couple roster moves there yesterday. After the release of offensive lineman Marcus Reed earlier in the week, though, the Packers still have one roster spot open because they added one and released one yesterday. Net gain of zero, or net loss of zero, however you want to look at it. Still have 89 of 90 roster spots filled. So the Packers can still sign one more player if they choose. I still wonder if maybe that player is Jarrett Bush, strictly from a veteran who's been around, who may be able to help the team's special teams. I wonder if that's the guy they're maybe thinking about saving that roster spot for. We'll find out. I mean, they don't have to fill it at all if they don't want to. I tend to think they will at some point before the start of training camp. But, you know, may not happen today, may not happen tomorrow. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they see somebody released from another team. They try him out, pick him up. John Moffitt, unretired from the NFL the other day, a Wisconsin product. Maybe they go after him. There's a lot of background story about his, you know, issues with overcoming drugs and things like that. I don't know if the Packers want to take that on or not. But anyway, there's a roster spot open if they feel like filling it. So that's that was the big news the other day. Kind of that clip didn't really play.
The day ahead.
There we go. The day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers today on Friday. Concert construction is expected to wrap up at Lambeau Field in advance of Saturday's show. Kenny Chesney and Jason Aldean will be co-headlining a concert at Lambeau Field on Saturday. So tomorrow, anticipated crowd of nearly 50,000 people are expected. Only the second time the Packers have held a concert at Lambeau Field, or at least one of, you know, big time significance. I think they held the last one, in which Kenny Chesney also headlined, back in 2011, and now once again trying it again. You know, kind of a rare occurrence. The Packers, of course, are very cautious about what they allow to happen at Lambeau Field and on the surface. So they don't, of course, want getting the field torn up or anything like that. So I think they're very choosy about what they allow to happen there. But it'll be a big deal because, you know, basically a sold-out stadium crowd on Saturday taking place at Lambeau Field. So, you know, all the things that are have to happen before a concert, stage construction and setup and video boards that kind of are on the side of the stage, you know, huge video boards and all the seating on the field, chairs and things like that. All those things, you know, they take a lot of time to set up. So wrapping that up on Friday in advance of tomorrow's concert. So Big-time deal happening this weekend in Green Bay, bringing a lot of people to the area. That's good. The Packers will be making money from concessions and parking and things like that. That's why they do it, so they can make a little bit of money off the experience. So good for them. You know, anytime the Packers bring in money, that only helps the longevity of the franchise and stability of the franchise in Green Bay. Also this weekend, Father's Day on Sunday, and there will be some Packers related television watching if you're so inclined. Running back Eddie Lacy will appear on a celebrity edition of Family Feud on Sunday with other NFL stars. As I understand, it's kind of an AFC versus an NFC format. That'll be taking place on Sunday. If you want to watch that, I think it's on, what, ABC? ABC airs Family Feud? I could be wrong about that. But anyway, so Eddie Lacy, Sunday during primetime. It's also the season premiere, the series premiere of the new upcoming HBO series Ballers featuring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And just yesterday, they released a promo in which linebacker Clay Matthews appeared. It was kind of a funny segment. You can go to 24/7 Sports. We embedded the video in a post there. Pardon me, I'm losing my voice, and maybe that means I got to wrap up the show. Anyway, Clay Matthews appearing in a promo for the HBO series premiering Sunday night. So some Packers-related television viewing for you coming up this weekend. I'm going to wrap up the show. Have a good weekend, everyone. Happy Father's Day to my father out there and to all fathers out there. So have a good weekend, folks. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you again on Monday, next episode of Railbird Central. Already have a guest signed up. It'll be Drew Smith of Fox Sports in Green Bay. On the same day that family night tickets go on sale, Drew Smith is a big part of that. Wanted to talk to him on the occasion of tickets going on sale to the public. That takes place on Monday. We'll have him on the show at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition, podcasted on demand later in the day. The show airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So we'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Like I said, I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go. ¶¶